Friendship September. But I want to start with some questions. And we just watched this video about the storms of life. I want to know how many of you have experienced the storms of life? Just a show of hands. Every hand should be up, I think. How many of you like the storms of life? Hands down, right? And how many of you like it when things go according to plan? You make a plan and it happens. What about when you make a plan and it doesn't happen? Down, right? So some of you know that I like to fish. I like to fish a lot. And I don't have Legos or a generator or a backpack here today. And I was going to bring in some smelly fish and give them out, but Katie advised me otherwise. But I like to fish, and fishing involves lots of waiting. And you sit there, and it's not really a big deal because you're fishing, and it's just fun. Cast a line in the water, sits there. If you catch fish, catch fish. If you don't, you don't. Who really cares? I usually plan not to catch some, and then I feel good, right? And sometimes you get surprised. But you know, there's T-shirts that say, they say this, a bad day fishing is better than a good day at work. I don't necessarily agree with that, just before you fire me, but nobody makes me go fishing. I like to go fishing, and if I don't catch fish, it's not a big deal. But on the other hand, when I plan to get fast food, because I'm in a hurry, and I go to Chick-fil-A, and if it's on a Sunday, then your plans are already messed up. But if you go to Chick-fil-A, and you get in the drive-thru, and you're waiting, and it takes 30 minutes to get a spicy chicken sandwich, I'm agitated. I'm angry. And then, this past week, I went to Walmart, and I wanted to get, I just needed one thing for church. And I'm in line, Katie's waiting for me. It takes me 30 minutes to check out at Walmart. 30 minutes. They have like 18 registers with three open. You know how that is? And the lady, so I'm pretty calm. Like, I'm a calm guy. Like, I talk more in my sermon than I'm gonna talk all day. And if you know me, that is true. And this lady in front of me, a couple people in front of me, she starts yelling, "Where's the manager? This is ridiculous." She does it four times. And the manager comes, opens the line, she gets what she wants. And so, if you can tell, I don't like waiting. People don't like waiting. If I plan to go to Walmart and it takes 2 minutes, I want it to take 2 minutes. If it takes 30, I'm upset. And that's just the way we are as people, right? We live in a culture where we like to be fast-paced and things don't always go according to plan. But today we're going to look at Paul and things aren't going to go according to plan. Bad things are going to happen and bad things happen in life. It's just the way it is. And when we don't want things to go according to plan, there's one problem with that. The Christian walk doesn't normally work like that. Things are always messing up. And so we have to learn how to deal with them. And sometimes God allows us to go through things because he wants to take us somewhere. He wants to do something with that. And we don't really mind good changes to plan. Like if you go buy a lottery ticket and you plan to lose and then you win, you know, you're happy. Or like when I went fishing on last Friday, and we planned to catch a few fish, and we got 54. I mean, Katie is in there in the first hour. There's a 10-minute span where she catches 10 fish. She catches two at a time. She turns around, and we're like, "Katie, you got another fish." Reel it in. 10, it's like literally, none of us were catching fish. She caught like 10 in 10 minutes. But in this story today, Paul's left in prison for 2 years. 2 years. That's a big change in plans, I think, for Paul. And I don't think he planned for it. But what do we do? What do we do when things don't go according to plan? How do we handle it? We don't really need help handling when good changes happen. We're good with that. We give God praise and we're happy. But when bad things happen, we got to learn how to deal with it. And like, I'm not going to talk about changes in plans like you go to the drive-thru and it takes too long. That's laughable. That's a joke. But I'm talking about serious stuff. Stuff that brings tears to your eyes. Serious things that go on in our life. How do we deal with it? And as I studied for this passage for today, I believe God showed me some things about Paul that we can learn from and we can apply to our lives to help us when these storms of life come. Last week, Pastor Kip preached out of Acts 21, and he went to how Ananias encouraged Paul, and it was a big influence on his life, and that he said, Paul keeps speaking for God through all these things. We're going to talk about that again today, a little bit, about Paul speaking for God. But the story begins in Acts 21, and it goes all the way to Acts 26. It begins in Jerusalem, and then it's in Caesarea. He's getting ready to go to Rome. It's 164 verses. The book of how many verses do you think are in the book of Acts? You can call out a number. You're not going to look it up. Just call out a number. There's 1,007. It's 164 verses dedicated to these trials, and not a lot happens. You know, the New American Commentary says this is the most tedious portion of the book of Acts. That's how they describe Acts 21 to 26, because it goes on and on and on. So normally when I preach, I'll come with a paragraph and we'll just break it down and we'll go at it. But we can't do that today. We got to take a high level view and look at this whole story, and we're going to be all over the place. And just you turn in fast, and we're going to see what God has to say. We look at the high level and see what Paul learned from this story. And I'm not going to read, like I said, I'm not going to read all 164 verses. You wouldn't be very happy. But this is crazy. As I was preparing for this message, literally, like in the study, in the office, preparing for this message, I mean, two people in the same day come to me crying because of the trials of life. So it's like God was just, I mean, I went to Katie after this. I was like, this is really hard. This is really hard to preach this. This is because we're going to talk about going through tough stuff. And when you're going through tough stuff, it's hard. And I'm not necessarily going through tough stuff today, but other people are. And God has a message for that. And God had me assign this topic. And he had me working on my sermon on that day when those people came to me. And it's all, he just spoke to me in those moments. And like I was talking about fishing earlier, fishing is not a trial, okay? Fishing's not a trial. Even if you are on a boat and it starts raining, it's not a trial. You're fishing. It's fun. And the events that we're going to talk about are events that really upset people. And we just sang that song, Good Morning. I told Katie, I said, man, the mood of the room is going to go like this. But I'll try and keep it as light as we can. But there are deep lessons I want us to see today from this story. And I want to just talk about it. Paul's in Jerusalem in Acts 21, and he gets arrested for bringing Greeks into the temple and teaching things they thought were contrary to the law of God, like Christ's resurrection. And then Paul appears before a tribune in Jerusalem. They beat him, but then they realize he's a Roman citizen, so they shouldn't do that. So they stop, because you get privileges of being a Roman citizen. Then he appears before a council. Then the Jews try to kill him. They say, we're not going to eat until we kill him. Okay, they really want him dead. And that brings us to Acts chapter 24. And we know we all go through trials. At some time or another, you're going to go through trials. That's going to be one of our points in a second. But I believe there's four things that God wants us to learn and apply today. First, God has a purpose in our trials. This is something that you can look back and say, or look at other people. It's hard to see it when you're in the trial, but God has a purpose in the trials. Second, if we are following Jesus, we should expect trials. Right. Looking forward, we can say that now. Prepare yourself. Third, God is with us in our trials. This is something during your trial can bring you comfort. God is with you in your trials. And fourth, we should keep speaking for God in our trials. This is something to remember during your trials. Let God use you. If you ask me to put that in one sentence, it'd be this. God has a purpose in our trials and promises to be with us as we go through them. God has a purpose in our trials and promises to be with us as we go through them. So let's stop and pray that God will use me this morning to speak to us. Come, Holy Spirit. I thank you so much for this opportunity to open your word and see what you have to say to us. God, I pray that I would disappear and that you would appear and that we would just hear from you. God, speak to us. There are people here that are hurting. There are people here that aren't. God, take the parts of the message that you want to take and help everyone to apply it to their lives. Speak to us. Help us not to leave here the same the way that we came. God, we love you. We trust you. We give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me give you some more context. Acts was written by Luke around AD 60. You've heard that maybe like 12 times now, so maybe you remember that. And 28 years have passed since the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. 23 years have passed since Paul's conversion. Paul has completed three missionary journeys. And we actually know more about Paul at this time than what we see in Acts chapters 21 to 26, because he had written Romans and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Galatians. So we're going to be all over the place. And anytime I go out of Acts, it'll be on the screen, so you don't have to flip so much. But the imprisonment that most people think about with Paul is in Rome, because he wrote these prison epistles. But really, there's like a paragraph about when he's in Rome in Acts. And there's 164 verses about the journey to get there. And there's a reason for that. One commentator said that the reason is because it was prophesied that Paul was going to go through these things, so they wanted to show that the prophecy was fulfilled. But it's a lot of words given to that. And like I said, we're going to be all over the place so that we can just get a big picture of what's going on. And there's a reason that there's all these words. The Holy Spirit didn't have Luke just say, here, write as much as you want for this. And then the Holy Spirit directed Luke to do that for a reason. The Bible's not a textbook. Every word in there matters. So the first thing I said we can learn from Paul's trials is that God has a purpose in our trials. Sometimes we get ourselves into bad situations. Sometimes other people get us into bad situations. And sometimes we're just dealing with a fallen world, with diseases and things. And it's not necessarily because we did something or because someone else did something. But no matter what the reason, God uses what we're going through to bring about his purposes. And this point can be hard to understand, really. Especially if you're in a trial, it can be really hard to understand that God has a purpose in the trial. But in the beginning of Acts 24, Paul had just pleaded his case with a governor named Felix. And then Felix says he's going to deal with it later. Then he comes to Paul. We're going to read what he says after that. Acts 24, verse 24. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. And he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you." At the same time, he hoped that money would be given him by Paul. So he sent for him often and conversed with him. When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. This is awesome. Paul says things that alarm the governor. He's talking about his faith in front of the governor. The governor says, "Go away. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I don't want to hear that." So instead of dealing with Paul, he just puts him in prison, leaves him there for 2 years. And Paul's innocent. He hadn't done anything wrong. He didn't break any Roman law. This was a religious dispute. This is like you and me saying, Jesus is going to come back at this time or this time, and then we disagree, so one of us gets thrown in prison. Like that's not what we would expect a reason to get thrown in prison. But I want you to imagine, put yourself in the situation. Sometimes it helps. Imagine being in prison for 2 years because there's a ruler that didn't want to upset some people because of the popular opinion, and he just leaves you there. And then he comes and he's trying to get money from you. That's what it says. It says that hoping that he would get a bribe. So Felix was crooked. He's a crooked ruler. And Paul's a Roman citizen, so he had some rights. This wasn't like he was like in a dungeon. He was allowed to have friends over, but he's innocent and he's in prison. This is a trial that he's going through, and this goes for a long time. And Paul knew that God could have got him out of this. Peter, in Acts 12, gets broken out of prison. God could have broke Paul out of prison, but he didn't. Paul might have thought, "God, when are you going to get me out of this and take me to the next place?" That might have been what was going through his head. And sometimes we think, "God, I'm doing what I think you want me to do, so can't you just make this go a little faster? Can't you just hurry this up? Because I'm tired of waiting for you." But God had a purpose in Paul's trials. See, when Jesus is still on the earth, he's speaking to the disciples, and he says this. This is Luke 21, 12 to 13. "But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and the prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness." Let's say you're reading Acts chapter 24, and you didn't know about this verse. Did God still have a purpose? Yeah. But for Paul, we have this. We have the Bible. We see the purpose. We're going to see it again somewhere else. We see specifically what Paul was going to go through. For us, we don't see that. We don't see a specific, like, come down in writing, this is why you're going through this. But there's still a purpose. One of God's purposes for Paul was for him to bear witness in the midst of him. If you look at that, this will be your opportunity to bear witness. God has a plan, even if we don't understand it. Do we have to understand it for it to be true? No, we don't. And there are a lot of things I don't understand about God, but there's nothing he doesn't understand about me. God knows all things. He knows the number of hairs on our head. Like, I don't know, maybe somebody's ever tried to count that, but I don't know why you would. But he knows what trials to allow in order to bring about his purposes. And we see again in Acts 9, when God's when Jesus is talking to Ananias and he tells him to go to Paul, we see the purpose again. You can turn, it's in Acts 9, 15. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So we see his purpose. There's a recorded purpose for Paul, and that's cool. But we don't have to have that for there to be a purpose. And we know what Paul believed. Remember I said he wrote all these letters before this? In Romans 8, 28, it's a famous verse. A lot of people have it framed at their house. It says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. What does God work together for good? All things. Does that include trials? Yeah. The question we want to ask when we're in a trial is why? Why am I in this trial? And it's a good question. But I'm not sure that I can give you, if you came to me and asked me that, I don't think I can give you the answer. I can't. But I know, because the Bible tells me, that God works all things out for the good of those who love him. We might not know why until we get to heaven, and God shows us our life, and he shows us how things interact. But we can still believe it, because it's in the Bible. God tells us that he works all things for good, even the hard things. This verse tells us about God's sovereignty. It's not a verse you tell someone at a funeral when someone just passed away. You're like, God, let your mom die for good. No, it's true, but that's not the time to say that. When someone's mourning, the best thing to do is just hold them. Let them cry. If they ask for advice, maybe you give them advice, but this is not advice. This is just this is a fact. We have to just trust God that he will redeem the situation. Because we don't know. God knows, we don't know. But we just have to trust him. God's plan for Paul was for him to bear witness to rulers, and it involved a 2-year delay. And the one thing we know about these 2 years, this is really cool. It says Felix conversed with Paul often. So we've been talking about Paul a lot. So Felix is conversing with Paul. What do you think Paul was saying to Felix? Felix was probably like, hey, Paul, you got some money for me? I'll let you out. And Paul's like, you want to hear about Jesus? So he kept coming back. But Paul, it doesn't say that in the Bible, but if you take what Paul did all the time, talking about God, that's probably what he was doing, and that's probably why he got left there. But that's what he was supposed to do. And God may have just been giving Felix opportunity after opportunity to turn to him. And we don't know if he did. Do we know, if I share the gospel with someone, if you share the gospel with someone and they don't accept Jesus right there, do you know whether they're going to accept him later? Maybe you do, but maybe you don't. But you did what you're supposed to do. Paul did what he's supposed to do. He spoke for God when he had opportunities. Many of you know my wife, Katie. And you know she has Lyme disease and diabetes and a few other health problems. And these things, a few years ago, some days she couldn't get out of bed. Some days she couldn't walk. But what she'll tell you is this. She'll say she's thankful that she went through the trials that she went through. Because she doesn't know if she would have turned to God otherwise. And she'll also tell you this, that God's using the pain that she went through to help her minister to others. And God's using the pain that she went through to help me be more sympathetic to others as well. That is a purpose. And we can see that. There might be more that we don't even know, but those are a couple. God doesn't waste pain. So God has a purpose in our trials, but I want to be clear that we might not understand it. I'm telling you a fact, but it doesn't mean that we're going to be able to comprehend it all the time. Jesus knew he's going to the cross, but he still sweat blood as he anticipated the day. Just because we know that God has a purpose, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't mourn. The Bible says there's a time to mourn. It's healthy. It's healthy to cry. So I'm going to go to the next point. If we're following Jesus, we should expect trials. Remember I said things aren't always going to go according to plan, but I believe that that actually happens more when we accept Jesus. When we're following Jesus, things don't go according to plan more often. You know, I found if you fish enough, you catch fish. And if you live, you experience trials. You notice I didn't say live enough. If you live, you're going to experience trials. This is a part of life. A world without trials is going to come when Jesus returns. Think about the beach, okay? Think about the shore, and the waves are coming in, and they're hitting the shore, okay? The shore doesn't determine whether the waves are big or small or how often they come, but they're coming. That's just like what God wants us to know today. that we're going to experience trials in life. Things are going to happen, big and small, and we can't control them. And the next point we're going to look at is God is with us in those trials. We can take comfort. But I believe God wants us to know that they're going to come. Don't expect the Christian walk to be easy, because it's not going to be. Trials are going to come. In the beginning of this story, all the way back in Acts 21, you can turn there, Acts 21, verse 13. The Holy Spirit tells the disciples first, then he tells a prophet named Agabus what he wants to tell Paul. And they say, you're going to suffer when you go to Jerusalem. But in Acts 21, verse 13, this is how Paul responds. Then Paul answered, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Talk about carrying his cross. He said, God, saying, God, may your will be done, not my will. This is a serious thing to say when someone says, if you go there, you're gonna go to prison. And he says, bring it on. The sermon title is When Things Don't Go According to Plan. I think Paul would say, carry your cross. Keep following Jesus. There are some similarities between what Paul went through and what Jesus went through. They both, when they were on trial, the people said, away with them. Both of them are on trial, but they're innocent. Paul is living out following Jesus when that was called for. Pastor Kit pointed out something very interesting to me. I don't know if he said it in his sermon, but he said it to me. He said, you would think that in Acts, things are just going to be really awesome. Because in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit comes, and all the 3,000 people are converted, and all of the church is just growing. And you would think that everything would be fine and dandy. But no, as soon as in Acts chapter 3, we see the church starts to get, persecution is introduced. And that's just, the world doesn't want us here. The world doesn't want us. And we're contrary. We're living contrary to what the world wants. And things happen. And notice, Paul didn't say, I want to die. He wasn't like, man, I just want to die for Jesus. He says, I'm ready to. Okay, I think that's important. He said, I'm ready to. The trial, that they said the trial's going to come. He said, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm willing to. He didn't say, this is what I want to do. No, it's not what he wanted to do. See, Jesus didn't come to make our lives easier. It's hard. Some people preach that Jesus came to make our lives easier, but it's not true. Jesus came to give us a hope and a future. That's not rooted in our feelings. That's rooted in Jesus Christ. James, who visited Paul in Acts 21, he wrote this in James 1, 2-4. It says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Count it all joy when, not if. The NIV says, consider it pure joy. Can we plan when trials are going to come? No. We will. I wish I could. I like to plan everything. But you can't. But we have to understand that joy and happiness are the same thing. It's very important. Call out some things that make you happy. I like fishing. I like going on a walk on the beach with my wife holding hands. What are some things that make you happy?
Baltimore Ravens.
When they win, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Eating. Come on. Eating? Yeah, I like to eat if it's good. What else? Money? Yeah, okay. Money makes you happy, and then when the money's gone, now you're not happy anymore, right? The Bible doesn't say be happy when you experience trials. Happiness is a feeling. You can't really control your feelings. James and Paul both suffered for their faith. They were beaten and imprisoned, yet they both say rejoice. Paul in Romans 5 says rejoice in your suffering. And then he goes on and on. But so James and Paul both suffered for the faith, but they say, rejoice in your trials, rejoice in your suffering. But true joy is not found in any of those things. It's not found in money. It's not found in relationships. It's found in Jesus Christ. Like, feelings are important, okay, because you deal with them. You have feelings. But feelings shouldn't rule us. In 2 Corinthians 1:8, Paul says he despaired of life itself when he faced the trials in Ephesus. He said, I despaired of life itself. That means I just wanted to give up. And if you wanted to give up on life, that's like you wanted to kill yourself. I mean, Paul said, I despaired of life itself. But we know he didn't give up. He stayed in the tension. He persevered through it. Nobody is saying be happy when bad things happen, but we have joy rooted in Jesus Christ. Jesus, when he's talking to the disciples, they just cast out some demons in Luke 10:20, and they were like, man, this is awesome. Jesus says, do not rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. That's our foundation. Nobody can shake that. No circumstances can shake that. Our joy is to be rooted in our relationship with Jesus Christ, and nobody can touch that, no matter what circumstances we're in. We got to remember, God allows trials to complete us, to help us become who he wants us to be. So we should expect trials, but here's the good news. God is with us in our trials. John 16:33 says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I remember preaching this in India, and this was hard. This was really hard. Raja would give us a little rundown of what was going on in the village we were going to see. He's like, these people are persecuted for their faith, and there's sickness and disease. And to go there as an American and preach this, like, we go through stuff, right? We go through stuff, but the stuff, it's just on a different level, it seems like. And to preach that, it just breaks your heart when you see these people. You see these people suffering for their faith, and there's diseases that if they came to America, they could be cured in like a couple weeks probably. And these people are suffering, and to tell them this, it's not, because it's not me saying it, it's the Bible, right? This is God saying it. No matter what trial you're going through, to you, it seems very bad. You ever notice how like you could be having like a horrible day, but then like someone like next to you doesn't? It's because it's happening to you. And that's what we care about the most. We care about how we feel, how we're doing the most. That's the natural thing that we do. But right after Paul gives his defense before the council in Jerusalem, this is what happens. Acts 23, verse 11. You can turn there. Acts 23, verse 11. I'm giving you a workout and changing pages. It says, the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, take courage. For as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome. God's asking him to do things that are going to cause him to suffer for his faith. But Paul knew God would be with him. Take courage means to have confidence and firmness in the purpose and in the face of danger or testing. To have confidence in the face of danger. God appeared to Paul and told him this. But he doesn't have to appear to us to tell us that because we have his word. Yes, you know, sometimes on a cloudy day, you look into the sky and you know the sun's there. You know the sun's there, but the clouds are blocking it. That's like a trial. The clouds are blocking it, right? Your vision might not be there, but then there's a breakthrough and the sun comes out. We have to keep pressing into God in our trials, and we're going to see him. We might be clouded for a minute, but we're going to see him. Paul's literally on trial, but I want to talk about some trials that we have, right? Like I've already talked about some of them: sickness, disease, marital issues, divorce. Maybe you have a wayward child. Maybe you're dealing with bullying, or there's abuse, or joblessness, or religious persecution. There's all these kinds of trials, and I don't want to limit it to one trial or another. This applies to all types of trials. The list can go on and on and on. And I haven't been through all these trials, but what I do know is that God's word is true. And we can trust it. Amen. The video we watched earlier quoted Psalm 46. Psalm 46, 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in what? Trouble. In trouble. Sometimes in our pain, God just shouts to us. And we just can hear him very clearly. And the question is, do you believe that? Do you believe that God is your refuge and your strength? That he's a very present help in times of trouble. Because if we don't believe it, it doesn't mean anything to us. But we have to believe it, because in God's word, Paul, after coming through these trials, when he's in Rome, he writes Philippians. And in Philippians, he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This isn't some golden boy that hadn't been through anything. Paul had suffered. We've seen him suffer all over. We could have, if you wanted to preach about Paul's suffering every week, we could have. And this one, it's just, that's all there is. So we got to cover it. But you could have preached about Paul's suffering almost every week in this book. But he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who? Through who? Through Christ. It says through him, through Christ. What can we do? All things. even go through trials. God's word is true. We got to plant it deep in our hearts and believe it and allow God to speak to us through it. The last thing I want to see today is that we need to keep speaking for God in our trials, because there's nothing Satan wants more than to silence us. The purpose of Paul's trials for him to witness to rulers and to get to Rome. So in the midst of Paul's trials, he didn't let it stop him from being a witness. See, there's a temptation to run from God in our trials, but we got to run to him. The only way we can do that, the only way we can speak for God in our trials is if we are in constant communication with him, because we're going to be hurting. You're going to feel that hurting, but God can give you the joy of the Lord even in the midst of trials, and that in itself is a witness, to have joy in the midst of trials. See, Paul allowed God to use what he was going through for him. He used his platform for Christ, and his platform is built on suffering. Paul could have probably, when he's in these trials, said some things to get him out of trouble. They were just waiting for him just to say something. Give me some money, I'll let you out. But he's, no, I'm going to go through this. He's in custody for 2 years dealing with Felix, the governor, and he gladly shares his faith again. In Acts 21, he says, I consider myself fortunate to be able to speak to you. When he gets to speak to the king, we're going to look at what he says in a second. But he shares his testimony with some high-profile people in this time. There's a long gaps in between when he gets to do it, 2 years, but he perseveres through it. And he doesn't become politically correct. Sometimes when we talk to like our bosses, we're like, we're talking to our coworker about Jesus, and then the boss comes, maybe you like stop. You know how that works? But let's look at what Paul says when he gets to plead his case before King Agrippa. And you know, even the fact that he gets to speak before the king shows God's sovereignty. Because in those passages I showed you that prophesied what Paul's going to go through, it said he's going to prophesy, he's going to bear witness before kings. And turn to Acts 26, 19 to 29. He shares his testimony. We're not going to read that, but we're going to see what he says after that. Acts 26, 19 to 29. It says, therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. To this day, I have had the help that comes from God. Don't miss that. To this day, I've had the help that comes from God. And so I stand here testifying to both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer, and that being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light to both our people and to the Gentiles. And as he was saying these things, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind. Paul said, I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I'm speaking true and rational words. For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly. For I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice. For this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe. And Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian? Paul said, whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. Paul did not hide the fact that he wanted to convert the king. You know, sometimes people, at least happens to me, sometimes they're like, are you trying to push your faith on me? Yeah. Yeah, I am. Yes, sir. He shares the gospel, and they say he's crazy. The Bible says the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. Does anybody ever say what you're sharing is foolish? Yeah, they should, because it says that the gospel will be foolishness to those that are perishing, and we hope that God will open their hearts and that they would respond. But if they don't, they're going to think you're crazy. Paul did not let this 2-year imprisonment keep him from sharing his faith. He kept bearing witness in it. He did it before different governors, before Felix, then Festus, then Agrippa. And then it says he's going to testify before Caesar. I mean, he's moving up the chain. He's getting in front of high-profile people and sharing his faith. This is God's purpose for Paul's trials. Paul loves these unbelievers. I mean, to be willing to go through this, God doesn't force you to do anything. But Paul went through this so God could use him for his purposes. He says, whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. He didn't want the people to suffer. He didn't want them to suffer for like he's doing, but he wanted them to turn to Christ. Even during his own trials, he wanted them, give them an opportunity to turn to Christ. So good. I want to recap the 4 points. First, God has a purpose in our trials. Even if we don't understand it, he has a purpose. For following Jesus, we should expect trials. God is with us in our trials, and we should keep speaking for God in our trials. Church, God doesn't waste pain. He used it to impact Rome by getting Paul to Rome, and he's using it to impact us today. So the question is, what would God have you to do with this message? Well, the answer depends on whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. If you're not a Christian, your next step is to turn to Jesus Christ. Because do you see how far Paul was willing to go to get this message out? Me, I have to spend some time preparing and stand up here and speak. But I didn't go to prison for 2 years but to share this. Paul was willing to do that, to share the message of Jesus Christ. And Jesus appeared to Paul. Okay, so Paul had a direct revelation, and he's doing this, and he's willing to suffer just so that people can hear the word of the Lord. So if you're not a believer today, does that mean anything to you that someone was willing to do that for their faith? And if you're a believer, your next steps might be, first, memorize Romans 8:28. This is a verse, like I said, if you're in a trial, it's going to be hard to understand, but if you're not in a trial, you should memorize it so you have it in your head. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Second, give God permission. Allow God to use your pain for him. Allow God to use what you've been through or are going through for him. And when you ask him to do that, your eyes are going to be open to opportunities that God's going to give you to see other people going through the same stuff that you're going through and to help them, to minister to them. Third, practice sharing your testimony. Your testimony involves before Christ, conversion, after, and work on how to share the gospel in that, because people like to hear your story. They want to know what God has done in your life. They might not want to know what the Bible says, but they'll listen to you tell your story, especially if they're your friends, and figure out how to put the gospel in there. Say, because Jesus Christ died on the cross, this happened, and he rose from the dead, and work it out, and take some time and practice sharing your testimony. Write it down. Have it so you can share it in 2 minutes or 10 minutes. So depending on how much time the person has, just be ready to do that. And then last, pray that God will help you see unbelievers as he sees them. Because Paul obviously had a huge heart for unbelievers. And like us, we're like driving down the road and someone cuts us off, and maybe they're not a believer or not, we don't really know, but we're mad at them, right? And that's normal. Or you have a neighbor who's like blasting some rap music and you're like, please turn that down. But pray that God would help your heart be what his heart is for them, that you would just be his spokesperson, be willing to be used by God to help people turn to him. God has a purpose in our trials, and he promises to be with us as we go through them. Pray with me. Heavenly Father,